Welcome to the Guitar Channel. I am super happy to welcome you a new interview. I am with the one and only Alexander Misko. Alexander, how are you doing today?
Hi, everybody. Thanks a lot to Pierre for inviting me to his wonderful showcase, workshop, whatever it is.
I call it the intergalactic showroom. It's more impressive.
So yeah, really happy to be here and can't wait to share all the information with you. It's going to be cool.
Yeah. Last time we spoke, it was in Germany, in Mannheim, during the Guitar Summit, which was not long such a long time ago. So what's up since then?
I don't remember.
You're touring all over the place, right?
Yeah, probably I've been touring. Yeah. I think after that, I visited South America. Okay. I've been in Colombia. I've been to Germany again. Now I'm happy to be in France and have my first proper tour here. Mm-hmm. Which is very exciting, and then I'm going to Germany again, and blah blah blah. But the most interesting thing is that I'm gonna release my new album on the 28th of November. That's nice. Also my birthday, mm-hmm. and I think I really hope, I really can't wait to share all the new music, mm-hmm. and really hope the people will like it.
Mm-hmm. How was it to play in South America? Is the reception from the audience different?
It was wonderful, actually, because that was my first time there. I've been in Cartagena in Colombia, and it's very hot there. Okay. And also it's a beautiful place. I've got to find some time to see what's going on around. Mm-hmm. And we played a very nice festival there with some of my friends from Fred Monkey Records, like Travis Bowman, Blake Goodwin. And I mean, it was fun. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that maybe I would visit this place again.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Let's talk about your new album, which is called Round Trip, right?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So what was the idea behind this album?
I mean, at this time, the whole idea and the concept behind the album was very clear for me, because most of the songs that's on the album somehow connected with my emotions, my feelings, my inspirations when I have been on the road. Mm-hmm. Because since the release of my second album, which is called Beyond the Box, it's been 2 years since then, and I've been traveling nonstop basically, mm-hmm. during all that time. So basically, the whole approach to composing my music just has become different, mm-hmm. because all the other stuff that I was doing before, I was just composing it at home. But now I'm mostly composed at the hotels or everywhere. So it's for me, it was very clear that I wanted to express the idea of me being constantly on the road, meeting different people, visiting different places, and being excited about that. But sometimes being lonely as well, because if you're a fingerstyle guitarist, most of the time you travel alone with your guitar, with your huge bag with electronics, and so it's not that sometimes it's not that cool as it seems to be. So I mean, you need to find a balance, a good compromise of being enough on the road to have fun, to play music, and also spending some time with the people that you really care about at home.
Can you walk us through your composition process, taking one example from the album? And can you start from the initial idea you had for one of the song and tell us how it evolved until the finished song?
Maybe I will take this song, which is called Gypsy Metal. Okay. And it's a very fun song. There's nothing serious behind that. Okay. It was just an idea to combine my two biggest influences. Like, I really love I love gypsy music a lot, like some kind of these chords, and also I enjoy metal a lot. And I was thinking, is it possible to combine it all in a way so it's going to be very metal, but at the same time it's going to be very gypsy sometimes. Okay. So it all started with a riff, with a bass riff without any melody, just this one that I was playing in the beginning. Okay, just play. Yeah, it all started with this riff.
Okay.
And actually, it doesn't sound even like metal and like gypsy. It's something like tango-ish thing. It's very like dance-like. But then I was thinking, okay, I need to do some verse after that. That should be very melodic. Because the intro was very aggressive, so people would be like, pay attention to the music. But then I need to catch the ear with the melody. Mm-hmm. So the verse of the song is more focused on the melody, and that's how I play verse. So it goes like... add percussion. So that was the idea of building a chorus, basically using the same chords, but yeah, the chorus is very gypsy, I think, this kind of chords. And then afterwards, I was thinking that I need to bring it all to metal again. Okay. And and the very end of the song, like the second half of it, it goes completely into metal thing, because I'm getting back to the first riff, but I play it in a very metal way, like. And then I move to the metal section, which is like a death metal section, when I play like oh god. So that's very death metal. I imagine I would be playing it like something like this, but using some fingerstyle techniques to make it more interesting. So I really like this kind of a tone when you play a string and then you tap it twice. So it goes like, it sounds very evil. And then I move to the biggest breakdown in the song, which sounds very deathcore-ish. It's like a deathcore breakdown when I go slower, twice as slow. So I finish this section. And there's a breakdown. Evil. Getting back to the gypsy section, which is very melodic, and I try to use different contrasts in this song. So some parts are very aggressive, very heavy, but at the same time, some parts are very cheesy and melodic. So I find this contrast very interesting to listen to. And that was one of the approaches.
Okay.
Yeah, and basically every song has a different approach for me now.
So because, no, not one recipe to compose everything?
I mean, sometimes it just takes time to find the right recipe for a song. But it just, I mean, I just feel that if something goes right, then I feel satisfied with the song. Okay. There's no like particular sequence of events that should happen. I don't think that, okay, now it's all good, but I need to add melody. Okay, now it's all good, but I need to put some more bass. I don't think like this. I just thinking that, okay, it sounds good now. I'm satisfied with that. And if I don't know what to change, then it means that the song is finished and I can present that to people.
So it's the same. You also feel that, okay, enough is enough. The song is done. It's ready to be recorded.
Yeah, kind of like this, because I just know that some guys spending years polishing the same song. But the thing is that the song inevitably will be changed after years. Yeah. So I've got to face this problem. It's not even a problem. It's like a fact that the song keeps changing. Mm-hmm. If you play a song a lot during your live shows, because it's okay when you play the same song for many years. There are some little things happening here and there all the time that you think that, oh, this note sounds a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Oh, this like drum feel sounds a little bit better. And then it's just another reason to re-record this song, maybe in a couple of years, just to show the people, just to show your audience how it has changed. But at first, I mean, you don't want to like polish your songs for years, because you never release anything like this. I mean, you would never release anything for people. So people would be just waiting endlessly for that. So that's why I know that, okay, that's it, what I can do for now. At this point. I'm perfectionist enough, but not too much to think that, okay, maybe if I just sit with the song for two more months, it would become better. No, I think the concept is there. It's already finished. So maybe something interesting would come later when I would be playing the song every day on every show. But if it happens, then I would just re-record the song in a couple of years just to show people what happened.
Mm. There is a song called Panda, on which you have an interesting sound. So do you have some kind of device on your guitar? It almost sounds like a sitar or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Panda is a very fun song. It's dedicated to my Chinese fans.
Okay.
And it's not Chinese in terms of its harmonies, in terms of its musical key. But I think it's quite Chinese in its mentality, because like I try to express my good vibes towards all my fans and all the great people in China. I enjoy China a lot. And the idea was to create some kind of a oriental instrument feeling. Mm-hmm. And I created that very simply. At first there was like some tuning. I put the capo on the 9th fret.
Okay.
So it sounds very high, something like this. It's not the same tuning, but it doesn't matter. But afterwards I just put a piece of string here.
So
it goes like between each string, mm-hmm. like just another piece of string like this.
So it's a piece of guitar string you put in between the strings.
Yeah, just okay. another 6th string basically. Okay. I just have another 6th string, like very short, and I just put it in between here at the very bridge.
Okay.
So it means that I still have the notes, so you can still hear the notes. But at the same time, the string vibrates against the other strings.
Mm.
And that's why it creates this rattling, shaky effect that sounds like...
Very cool.
Yeah, I think it sounds maybe like a sitar, but I imagine it's like a steel drum.
Yeah, more like a percussive instrument.
Yeah, like something percussive, yeah. And it gives this very interesting tone, but at the same time, it's still just one single solo guitar.
Mm.
And you really enjoy this concept of like trying to go beyond the limitations.
Mm.
So people would think, oh, how is it possible? And just one guitar. I haven't even used any pedals there.
Okay. Regarding pedals, there are a lot of effects on the record. So do you add the effect after you've done the recording, or is that an integral part of your composition process?
At first, I usually compose songs without any effects.
Okay.
I just play.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just... No, I just try to see what's going on inside of my head.
Mm.
Like, for example, this gypsy metal, it just asks for distortion.
Mm.
It screams for distortion, especially this section, which is like the most heaviest one. So the whole idea of the song was to keep it metal. And I just record the song without any effects, and then we put nice plugins and effects afterwards in the software where we edit and master the music, because that's why you can get the best quality.
Yeah.
I don't use real pedals.
Mm-hmm.
We just put everything afterwards, after the recording. And that's the this approach is different for me this time, because on my first and second album, I was kind of, oh no, there should be no effects, just reverb. I just want to make people listen my just clean guitar playing without anything, without any embellishments, without anything on top that's going to be artificial. But now I don't think about that. I don't care. Like, I just want to bring the music to my audience that I have in my head. And if I have distortion in my head, then here's the distortion.
Yeah.
I don't care. If I have a delay, if I have looping, because there are two songs with some looping in it, I don't care. I don't aim to be like a solo fingerstyle player.
Yeah.
I try to write music, not fingerstyle, not fingerstyle nerdy thing.
Mm.
So if my music asks for some effects, and even if for some people it stops being acoustic afterwards, I don't care, because I just think it's better to approach that just as a modern guitar music, not labeling it fingerstyle or solo
or
unplugged, unplugged or whatever you call it.
Mm. And the result is true, is a very rich and rich sounding album. I listened to it a couple of times to prepare this interview, and with headphones, and you brought me on many trips with you with the music, so it works.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Happy you enjoyed that.
Tell me, how do you approach when you cover a song? There is, for example, a cover for Jurassic Park, how did you come up with the idea to work this on the acoustic guitar?
I mean, it was funny, because I was thinking, okay, I need to put some covers on my album, just because, well, I want this album to be sold.
Okay.
And the same stuff that basically happened with Careless Whisper last time, that the biggest hit from my second album.
Yeah.
And I have never been aiming to put some covers in having a goal to that some of them would go viral. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to put some covers to attract people who are not familiar with my music. Mm-hmm. So that usually works. And that's why I put Smells Like Teen Spirit song there, which is like one of my very old arrangements, one of the very new, I mean, the earliest ones, probably my first arrangement I did for a guitar, mm-hmm. but I completely reworked it. So it's very up to date now. It's very updated, and it's very hard to play. And the same goes with Californication. I did this arrangement like 5 years ago, and it's still on my YouTube channel. But this time I wanted to make it special. Okay. I wanted to put all my efforts to make this arrangement good enough. Mm-hmm. And for the Jurassic Park, it was funny because I just was thinking, oh, I need to do a new cover for my YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I was somehow got tired of all these pop songs and things and all this stuff from 80s. Mm-hmm. I just decided, okay, maybe I would just play some song from a movie. And I just Googled and some famous songs from movies, and I just stumbled across Jurassic Park, and I was thinking, wow, this melody when it goes like, maybe I would play it with a stick. Mm-hmm. So I would imitate cello. And I was thinking, okay, that's gonna be easy. I will make a cover that's like 1 minute long.
Just, no big deal.
No big deal. Yeah, we'll just play it with a stick. Then I will upload it, probably get some views, and would have some stuff on my channel, which is always nice to have. But then it turns out it has a very nice chorus. Mm-hmm. And also it has the second verse, which is a little bit different from the first one. And when I was arranging that, I was like, damn it, it's not 1 minute. It's getting deeper and longer. Like, I was like thinking it's gonna be like 1 minute long, just like some like short, stupid video for YouTube. But in fact, it turned out to be like a pretty nice composition. I mean, I really enjoy playing this song. And actually, this is a song that I really like. Mm-hmm. I think it's very simple, but it's very effective. Maybe because it's connected with the childhood memories, because we all love this movie. Mm-hmm. But I find it musically very attractive. Mm-hmm. So it's very fun to play. And I was trying to combine this chopstick playing with the regular playing. Mm-hmm. So that's why the choruses are played in like more or less regular way. I use chopstick to imitate cello.
So that's why you have a chopstick on your headstock?
Yeah, I have it here all the time. And actually, that's how I play the song. So when I stop chopsticking, I have a moment so I can put it here and I can play without a chopstick. Okay. And then I can play some chord, and then I can bring the chopstick again and start playing with it.
Okay, so you use it as a bow on a violin or a cello, right?
Yeah, I use this chopstick. Actually, it's not just a chopstick, because some people...
It's a special signature model.
Yeah, it's a signature Alexander Misko signature chopstick. Yeah, but in fact, it's just a chopstick. It's a very cheap one, just a bamboo chopstick. But the idea, I mean, so if you want chopstick to sound really good like this... I can see this one. Or you can play some bass with it. Yeah. So I was just improvising, but the thing is that it just scratched up before I play. So I just take a sandpaper or a knife and I just do stuff like this to make the surface rough, and then I put rosin on top of it all the time. I forgot the word for that in French.
Vernis, like a vernis, you mean?
The rosin that they put on a bow to like a piece of stone. There's a nice word for that. Okay. Californium, something like this. No, I mean, but you get the point. It's just a piece of stone, and you just do this with a stick, and it just gets covered with its dust.
Okay.
So that's why it sounds better. That's why the friction gets better. Mm. And
that's the secret of the sound.
Yeah, but that's very simple. I mean, you can do that in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
And it's funny because I think the originator of this trick has been Eduardo Agni from Brazil.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he has been playing like this for like 20 years.
With the chopstick,
okay. Yeah. But nobody knows about that. Mm-hmm. There are some guys in Brazil who have been playing with pencils and chopsticks, but nobody knows about that in Europe and in America. Mm. So like when I play with the chopstick, people are always like, oh, what's going on? But in fact, I mean, it's nothing new here. I just take this technique and I try to expand it. I try to like use effects with that, looping, like playing chords at the same time, because that's what I developed in this arrangement of Jurassic Park. Because I don't know. So the point is, when I can play a string, but if I start with an upstroke, like with a pick, this way, I can use my pinky to play a chord. So I go like.
Like two instruments.
Yeah, you can hear the chord.
Very nice.
Yeah, so it's fun. Yeah, and also I try to develop different ideas with chopstick every time, because it gets boring if you just play one note. So yeah, and it's that's why I think this arrangement is pretty good, and the video is going to be released soon for basically for most of this stuff on my album.
Great. Is that the guitar you used on the album?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. This is my beloved Loudon John Gomme signature model. But it's not exactly John Gomme signature, because it's got lots of variations here on the headstock.
Yeah.
Also, it has fan frets, this weird drunk luthier thing, and also yeah, it got lots of pickups, like lots of pickups. I just using one here for the recording, because my pedal board is somewhere else. Okay. It's not here.
Somewhere on the truck.
Somewhere on the truck on its way to Paris, yeah. And yeah, so that's why I use lots of pickups. But in general, this guitar is just a regular one.
Mm-hmm.
It has six strings. It has wooden body, and. Basically, you can play anything on this guitar. It's just a guitar, but with some cool things.
And for the recording, do you use a mix of acoustic pickup like this one and the output, or just the acoustic, or you blend everything depending on the song?
Yeah, we actually blend everything, and that turns out to be the best thing how you can record the guitar, especially if you play this weird percussive style. Because if you just play something using strings, probably you wouldn't need pickups for that, because it already sounds good.
Yeah.
But if you go with this percussive thing, if you want to all the percussion and the strings sound balanced, then you would probably need to use pickups. And we use four microphones.
Okay.
We used four microphones for all the songs. So we have two stereo microphones here in front, two stereo mics here, which called rooms. So they pick up everything, so you would feel the ambience of the room, and they panned left and right, so that's why it sounds big. And also we used all my five pickups inside of the guitar. So we used this pickup, which is magnetic one. We used octave pedal every time, so that's a separate input, so that's why you hear this cool bass on the recording. My guitar doesn't have this bass, so it's all because of the octave pedal, or Bose OC3. That's the best thing you would ever get for fingerstyle. And also, we used this cool thing with my stereo percussion. I have three piezas on this side, and I have two piezas on this side. So it means when I scratch the guitar here, the piezas pick up this noise, and also it's panned to the right.
Okay.
And piezas here pick up this noise, and it's panned to the left. So it means when I do stuff like, it goes from the right side, then into the middle, and then to the left.
Okay.
So it feels like some kind of a 3D stereo cinematic experience.
Super analogic console, mixing console you have right here, right?
yeah, <it's> kind of yeah, that's right.
Alexander, it was great to have you here at the showroom, so thank you very much for your time, and I wish you all the best for the release of the album, Round Trip, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a great pleasure, and hope to see you guys in France soon.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Stay metal.
Stay metal.